Joined now by Milltown senior footballer Mike Merton and Gary Moore footballer and ex-Girvan footballer Kieran McGrath. How does it feel when you hear that, Kieran?
It's unusual, Paul. First off, I suppose thanks for having me on. I'm no longer a Curfin footballer. I'm a Gary Moore footballer, but I didn't think I'd ever say that, being honest, that I felt the day would come that I would be no longer a Curfin footballer, but I'd retire. But and I thought I had retired, but Fitzy convinced me to come back out of retirement and play another year. So we'll see. Maybe this time it is retirement, I think.
What did I know you said you were coaching Gary Moore early on and then you went in and played, but was it a tough decision? Because I know you said you were hoping at the start maybe to try and play an intermediate, but the schedules just kind of clashed.
It was a tough decision because a lot of good lads still in Curraghfin that I'd be very close with, and in particular, I suppose Sicy, Joe Kenny, involved in management, and lads like that. And it's hard to leave a dressing like that, even though I'm getting older and you have to move on at some stage. I suppose the minute I transferred, you really are closing that door. If I was coaching Gary Moore didn't transfer, there's always a chance, I suppose, in the back of your head that you can always go back up and train towards the end of the year or whatever it may be. But I suppose I was committed to Gary Moore. It was hard to do both, and I suppose when the opportunity came or arose to play a bit, I said I'd give it a go, and I think I've done okay. Pace, to be honest, probably isn't as fast as the Galway club scene, I think. And Mayo clubs tend to play with a lot of bodies behind the ball, so it actually gave me an opportunity against some oppositions to actually just free up and play as a spare man at the back. So that suited when you're going on 38 years of age.
And how was it being a Galway man playing in the Mayo Championship? Any of the Mayo lads out to get you?
A few run-ins. Funny enough, mostly with referees. Mostly with referees, but yeah, a few run-ins, but all again, like the Galway Club Championship, I had plenty of run-ins with Mike down through the years. And once the final whistle goes, you shake hands and you get up and get on with it. You know, and that's similar in Mayo. There was a few run-ins. I remember one run-in in a league game in the league semi-final with James Durkin, who I suppose down through the years with Castlebar, ourselves and Castlebar with Perfin, would have had a rivalry. And we kind of squared up, and in the end up we shook hands and just kind of laughed it off, that the fire was still there between the two of us, I suppose.
Do you ever marry each other, Mike?
Geez, I don't think so, Gizzy. I don't know. Gizzy might be able to tell you better, but I think I was always marking Fitzy because I was always full forward. But no, I don't think we ever marked each other. I wouldn't like to mark him.
No, I used to get the job on Mark here, which was a tricky job also.
This weekend, lads, the semi-finals taking centre stage. Before we get into the preview, Mike, four teams left: Annan Downshaw, Till, Montbellew, Mycullen. Is there anyone you're rooting for to win the county title?
No, not really. I don't really know, to be honest. Maybe Salthill. You know, I'd like maybe Salthill to just someone new more than anyone else. You know, Montbellew and Mycullen have won it the last 2 years, and I suppose Carfin have been there for years. Like, so it'd be nice for a new team to break through, and I suppose Salthill are a good young up and coming team, and it'd be brilliant for the county for someone new to win the county title.
Anyone you're rooting for, Gizzy?
No, look, it would be nice, I think, to see Salthill or Annadown the same way. It'd be a nice story for them because, like, before the quarter final, it looked like they weren't going to make it through at all. So it'd be some story if they went on to win it. And it's not beyond, it's it. I'd imagine they're out of the four teams, they're definitely the underdogs. But when you have Damien Comer and one or two others, you always have a chance.
I think as well, Gizzy or Paul, it'd be some story for Alan Flynn as well. Like, you know, he's after winning the Leitrim Championship down in Leitrim, and if he ever done it with Anna Down and they were ever to meet in the Connacht semi-final or Connacht final, I don't know how they'd work that day, what would happen, but that'd be some story. So
yeah, it's remarkable. Alan Flynn, Brian Roach and Sean Murphy with Anna Down and St. Mary's definitely will be interesting, and it'd be wonderful to see Anna Down win the county title, but I'll say that as an Anna Down man. The first semi-final up, Anna Down and Salt Hill, 2 o'clock in Pierce Stadium on Sunday. Gizzy, in one way, these sides already met in the group. Salt Hill won 118-108. But does, like, for Salt Hill, is it a disadvantage going into this one? Because as you're saying, they're young side, they've beaten Anna Down already by 10 points. Well, it's probably a perfect situation really for Anna Down going into this one.
Yeah, Anna Down, I think it'd be will fancy themselves. Yeah, it's hard to turn around a 10-point swing, but weather conditions have changed. Salt Hill with their younger footballers, if it's a bad day in Salt Hill, it mightn't suit. Injuries will play a part. I heard during the week that Owen Kearns might feature, so if that happens, that'll be a plus. We haven't seen much of Kieran Duggan. Will he feature? You know, there will be a good buzz in that Anna Down camp after that big win over Barnet. That'll just give them a bit of energy going into this. Going into the quarterfinal, going into a semi-final, and they'll have every chance.
Weather conditions, as he mentioned there, Mike, like when you look when Anna Down played Salt Hill and even when Salt Hill played Montpellier, it's they're just different games of football now, really, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, Paul. Like if you look at the quarterfinals, like no team bet each other by more than 2 points. I think two of the games were 2 points and two of them were 1 point wins. So, like, it's definitely a huge factor, the weather. But I think for Salt Hill, I think they play a bit defensive, like, you know. And I think if they can just stop the ball going into Damien Comer and Frankie Burke, and if they can break at pace and get the quick ball into the few forwards, Robert Finnerty and Tom O'Connell, I think they'll get the scores. And I think, you know, it's a big game for Salt Hill because... if they are to come through, I think they'll give Mike Cullen or Montbellier a right crack in the final, like, you know.
What's the biggest challenge as a forward in this kind of weather, Mike?
I suppose winning the ball out in front of you. That's the biggest thing. You know, it's awful easy for a back to get a hand in or just get a shove in and push you off your stride, like, you know. So I think we've seen it the last day in the curve in Montbellier game. Marks is a big thing the next day. You can be getting your marks, get out in front of your man and get win on them few marks. And I think Salt Hill just have a few classy forwards inside. And, you know, fairness, Tom O'Connell stood up the last day. And another thing as well, you know, Robert Finnerty went off after 15 minutes, 20 minutes the last day again, Chum. You know, so Salt Hill take great confidence from that game to beat a very good Chum team without the arguably their captain and their probably best player, like, you know. So, you know, but Anna Down, like, geez, like, there's some opportunity when you think about it, like, you know, like, what an opportunity. They were as good as out of the championship. And probably if that game had gone on, that Barnet game had gone on the same time as the other games, they probably wouldn't have got through, like, you know, just being honest, I'm not being begrudging them of anything, like, you know what I mean? You know, we could have easily got through then, like, you know, but... it's just the way it is. And as Gizzy said there a few minutes ago, it's a huge opportunity for them. And they'll be buzzing at training this week. And especially Alan Flynn coming up now and the three boys coming up now to training after winning the championship alone, Leitrim, you know, they'll bring huge confidence into that team. And, you know, if Owen Kearns is back, you know, he'll probably mark Robert Finnerty, Tom O'Connell, and he'll give a bags of it anyway because he's a little tigerish. He's just like you, Gizzy. He's a tigerish little cornerback, like, you know. So, It's set up for a good game, but there won't be a lot between the two teams in both games. It'll be only a kick of a ball, I think, anyway, like, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I just think, you know, if Salt Hill can stop the supply going to the two lads inside, and if they can keep it tight at the back and move the ball forward, I think they'll get the scores good enough, maybe if the boys can click up front, you know, to maybe see it out by a few points.
Gizzy, is it Bax weather?
Yeah, look, weather like this would suit most backs. But when you have a forward like Damien Comer, regardless of the weather, he's going to be hard stopping. If Damien Comer hits form, that could be trouble for Salt Hill. On the other side, you have to be really impressed with Rob Finnerty. He's still young, and he's a real leader in that Salt Hill team. And played against him maybe 2016-17 final along that, and you were just unsure whether he'd have the mentality to go to the next level, but he really has. And he had a great year for Galway, to be fair to him, and he's having a good year so far for Salt Hill. And in fairness, he seems like he can play in numerous positions. He doesn't need to be full forward. He can come out, play 11 or play at midfield. Tom O, the same way as Mike mentioned there, Tom O's having a great year, another young guy. Played very well against Tuam. And to be fair, okay, Salt Hill were probably favourites going to the Tuam game, but Tuam are, and Mike can tell you this, Tuam are sticky and dogged the last few years. Very hard bet, very well organised. And when you do beat them, when you do beat Tuam or have Tuam bet, you'll go a long way to win a county title. You know, we always felt playing Tuam, yeah, you look forward to it because it was a local derby, but you knew you were getting bags out, and Salt Hill got bags out the last day. I was impressed too with it was Hunt.
Tony Hunt.
Yeah, and Paddy Kitt as well the last day. I thought they played well for Salt Hill. Cathal Sweeney, obviously, I was watching it on TV, but it looked like he was picking up Jamie Murphy, and that looked like a ding-dong battle, and he's a quality footballer. The only thing I'd be wary about Salt Hill is that at times when Tuam ran at them defensively, Salt Hill tended to all rush towards the ball, and it left bodies on the outside and inside a couple of times, that if Tuam got the head up, the Salt Hill players had all rushed to one guy. And obviously, if four or five goes to one guy, there's other guys free. So they just need to be conscious of that, yes, you're eager to win the ball, but also you got to stay with your man. Sometimes going ball-headed for that ball sometimes is not the best option. And I just worry that it happened a few times against Tuam. Tuam probably didn't capitalise on it, but if Anna Down do, they could be in trouble.
Mike, you mentioned Rob Finnerty coming off injured against Tuam. It seems to be a back spasm issue that's affecting him. It's a very hard injury to know will he feature or not this weekend, I suppose, because Salt Hill aren't going to be giving Anton away either.
Oh, it's huge, Paul. Like sure, that could be the difference in Salt Hill winning the game or losing the game, like, you know. So yeah, I think he's been carrying it though a while, like, so it'll be it's a tough one, really. Like, if Salt Hill have to go out now without Robert Finnerty, it's going to be a tough ask, like, you know. But on the other side then is Tom O'Connor still up there, and then he kicks 6 or 7 points, and, you know, there's no reason he couldn't step up the next day, like, you know. And they have a young lad there, Evan Murphy, as well, like, a really good player as well. You know, he could step up the next day, like, so, you know, I know he's such a huge player for them, like, you know, but they'll know during the week, like, if he's going to be playing or not, like, and if he's not going to be playing, obviously they'll plan without him, like, and if he is playing, he's a huge player for them, like, you know, but I'm sure they'll know, it won't be just before throwing, they'll know if he's going to be playing or not, like, you know.
There is a lot of talk as well, Mike, about Owen Kern playing. Is it a hard game though, like, for the Annadown management now to throw him in, because he hasn't been there all year? Could piss people off, you could say, in some way, because they've been slogging all year. But then you're saying if you bring him back in, it's for the betterment of the team.
Well, yeah, like, sure, look, if you're a sub up there and you're pushing, trying to get in the team, and this lad just comes out and over and he goes straight into the team, you're obviously going to be probably a bit put out about it. But, like, you know, I suppose the way Alan Flynn and them lads are looking at it, like, you know, they're probably getting paid to do a job up there. And if he can do a job on Tom O'Connor or Owen Finnerty, he'll, you know, it's a no-brainer. You'll put him straight in the team. Like, and, you know, he probably will start. Like, you know, he played with Galway for a good few years, and he was a good old cornerback, like, you know. So, you know, and he's still only young as well. Like, so I think you more than likely you'd have to start him, like, you know, for the betterment of the team, obviously, like, you know.
Do you throw him in, Gizzy?
I'd probably be reluctant to throw him in from the start, but definitely I think if they're struggling and they need a man marker at that stage and it's not working on the pitch, I'd put him in. Or even just energy and fairness, he bombs forward and he'll carry ball forward. So, like, definitely probably reluctant to start him. And only more from the point of view that he has nothing done for himself, that it might go well for him. Whereas throw him in, okay, if there's 10 minutes gone or 10 minutes left, and just let him go hell for leather and see how he goes. But look at Anna Down. I know we're probably looking at the four semifinals and saying, look at Anna Down are underdogs, whether they should or shouldn't be there. But like they still, Anna Down have been thereabouts since 17, 18. Frankie Burke is still sold out for them, and he'll take Markin. Like Salt, he's a good forward, has been a good club player in Galway for 10, 12 more years than that. But he need Markin. Malarkey is there, a good guy, good club player as well for Anna Down, shot down through the years. So they have a bit of that. Ryan Ford as well, I know there was a lot thought on a few years back, he probably didn't fulfill his potential.
He's working his way back now from injury.
Yeah, they have good players and they have good seasoned players that won't fear Salt Hill. And if Salt Hill do get over the line, which we expect, they'll be made work very hard for it.
That Kieran Duncan as well, Gizzy, like you are, and Paul, like he's been a great player as well. Like I know he's been injured the last year or two, like he'd be a huge player. Like, and it's only a few years ago they only lost to Yee by a point, I think, is he, like the last kick of the game, or did Frankie Burke have a chance to win it or something like that? Like, so you know, they won't be bad either. Like, you know, maybe we're building this the young Salt Hill team up an awful lot, you know, but it's a great opportunity for them. That's the big thing I see with Anna Down. Like, you know, as you told them a few weeks ago they were going to be in a county semi-final, like, and you know, they to beat Michaels and Salt Hill to get to a county final. You know, they nearly take it, like, you know. So, you know, I could imagine training up there the last week or two would be, you know, be very good, like, and very positive, and they'd be looking forward to this, like, you know. And you've seen it with the quarterfinals, there's only a point or two between the games, and you don't know a sending off, a black card, all that could come into play, and you don't know how they might just get the bounce of the ball that'll get them the score to need it to win the game, like, you know.
And the keepers also, Paul, nowadays play a big part in the game. Like, not only from kickouts, but from open play too, which have two good keepers playing on either side. And James Healy, in fairness, has been a good keeper down to the years around his own. And he has had competition in his own club, but he seems to have come out on top. And, like, he's another good player that they have. And if you have a good goalkeeper, it's a great springboard for you to start with, to be honest.
Just on Anna Down, before we get into the matchups, because we were talking there about Salt Hill, Tomo, Infinity and everything. But Gizzy, you talked there about them being a seasoned team. Do you think they'll kind of feel like it's a kind of smash and grab opportunity for them?
Yeah, I think if you're in the Anna Down dressing room or you're in the management team, you're talking about having a free shot here at a semi-final. They probably tried hard over the course of 4 or 5 years when Cardiff were dominant. They were pushing hard, trying to get to that semi-final or final and try and win one. And now they probably feel themselves they're not as good as what they were, mightn't have tried as hard as what they did in the past, and all of a sudden they find themselves in a semi-final and with a great opportunity. So I think that'll be the talk in the dressing room, is that here and this is a free shot. Let's go out and have a go. Let's not overthink it. And let's see what happens.
To get into the, I suppose, matchups before we move on to the second game, Mike, for Salt Hill, you mentioned they're going after Damien Comer, and Frankie Burke is going to be key for them. Who do you think Salt Hill will match up with these two?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. Yeah, I think they'll probably play a sweeper, I'd say, like, you know, Paul. I think they'll probably sit Gareth Armstrong back. I think he's been sitting back a bit in the last game, like, you know. And they'll sit him in front of the full back line, and they'll probably put Owen McFadden probably on Frankie Burke, and I don't know who they put on Comer, like, you know. I just think they're going to have to sit back, because, like, I think if they play an open game football and they just go 15 on 15, I think you're only inviting trouble, like, because, you know, I know Bairn had nothing to play for above, like, you know, in Bannisloe that night, but I went up to that game, and, like, and it owned just the two boys inside, just ran riot in the first 10 or 15 minutes. The game is out of sight after 10 minutes, you know. So, you know, Saltill are going to have to sit back and keep out the goals. Like, you can see the last day, Damien Comer got another goal, you know, and a down win by 2 points. You know, that was the difference. That was the difference in the day the goal Damien got. Like, so, you know, I think they just have to keep out the goals, keep Damien Comer at bay. And if they do that, you know, they'll go a long way in winning it, you know.
And then the downside of things then, Gizzy, like, you're looking at Robert Finnerty and Tomo, like, they're the two key men that they have to try and nullify, because I suppose in the group game, they caused Danadown a lot of difficulty.
Yeah, and maybe that's why they might look at bringing Owen Curran's in from the start, depending on if he's trained and he's doing well at training, or if he's marking Frankie at training and doing well, he's probably someone that might come in and do a job there. Mullarky will probably sweep. He usually, and he's good at that. I think Annadown will probably get bodies behind the ball and look to counter-attack. It's a pattern of play that Alan Flynn seems to like. And to be fair, it's something that you probably need to do against Saltill, so it'll suit them. To Mike's point, that if Saltill didn't just start throwing bodies forward and get turned over, they can be very vulnerable at the back, and that'll suit Annadown. But outside of that, I don't know. Maybe Ryan Ford pick up Tomo Mike or
Kieran Potter, maybe.
Kieran Potter.
He was very good against Berna. I watched him, yeah, very good. You know, but you still don't have any, you know, Bear. That's why I'd be saying to put Owen Kearns in from the nearly start, even though, you know, let's just hope he's been training the last few weeks, because they've no real standout man marker and a down, really. You know, maybe you might mention Potter or someone like that. So, like, it's not as if you've just one top class forward in Saltill. You know, you really have two if Rob Finnerty starts. You know, and then Evan Murphy's there as well if he starts. Like, you know, you have a few nice forwards to mind, you know, in Saltill. Like, so I think if he's in good enough shape, I think it's key for Owen Kearns to start, like, you know, to take one of them good players of Saltill out, like, you know.
Do you have to go after and Mark Carl Sweeney this weekend, lads?
Yeah, I suppose all depends where he plays, Paul. Like, you know, if he play around the half-back line, half-forward line, like, you know, he's sort of player that'll just run all day, I feel like, you know. He's mostly a very good player to have in your team too, like, you know, a lad that'll bring ball up the field and kick a score or two, like, you know. But it's hard to know where he's going to play. Like, will he play in the half-forward line? Will he play midfield? You know what I mean? John Maher is another good player playing midfield as well, like, you know. And he was in the Gaul panel a few years ago, like, so... Yeah, Carl Sweeney, yeah, probably played. Was he midfield the last day? I'm not sure.
Wing back the last day, I think.
Wing back the last day, bomb forward, yeah. So, you know,
he seemed to be picking up Jamie Murphy, but no, I might be right in that. But yeah, look, at if you have the manpower to mark him, then fair enough. But like, he seems very quick. He seems to have that ability to get forward. So potentially maybe like Annadown just need to be goal side and get Cahill Sweeney running into a wall of Annadown bodies, same with Maher and Murphy and these guys. Whereas if you're chasing, if you're marking Cahill Sweeney and you're chasing him, you're in bother. And that's not what Annadown would not want. So I think Annadown will drop bodies back and potentially look for Sweeney to run into trouble then maybe.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, as you say, Annadown drop bodies back, and I think Saltill drop bodies back as well. Like, you know, so I think it could be a low scored enough game. Like, so that's why I'd be wary if I was Saltill of Damien Comer threat of getting a goal. Do you know what I mean? A goal would be huge in a game like that. If both teams are going to be played that bit defensively, you could just have a game maybe 10-8, 10-9, so it's a scoreline like that. Like, so it's. I think it mightn't be a spectacle the next day. It could be a low cagey affair. That's the sort of game I'm expecting. I know, like, you know.
And Saltill have struggled, even though they played well against Mount Bellew, good win over Tuam, but they did struggle against James's a few weeks ago, and we see where James's are at now. So and a Down will know that too, and they won't. They'll take great confidence from that. Now, the only thing that might catch Anna Down is obviously the bench. The Salt Hills bench seems stronger. They brought on Murphy the last day. That Brian Conlon that started the last day, like he's around a long time, but he's a good finisher. And you see that by the goal he got. In fairness, if he gets them chances, he won't miss. There was a Walser guy that I think it was Robert Walser. He played a couple of years back against us. He was a good footballer, and he's good on the bench. Like Salt Hill definitely have the stronger bench, and coming down the home straight, that's what might catch Anna Down in the end up is that is that they might just have that lack of manpower.
Big battle around the middle, Mike, as well. Jeremy Kilcommons and John Mary, you expect to go toe to toe, like two lads who are on the fringes of the Galway panel, you could say.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, it's a super opportunity for them two lads, you know, to kind of, you know, put their hand up and say, you know, they could contribute to Galway next year. Like, so it's like, it's just some opportunity for them two and for a lot more players playing the next year. Like, you know, if you're a young lad there in your 20s, you know what I mean? If you go out and perform on Sunday, you just don't know where it'll lead to. Like, you know, you could get a few games, trial games in McGowan, like, you know. So, yeah, it's just, you'd be expecting John Maher now, maybe big performance on Sunday. Like, he's kind of been thereabouts now the last 5 or 6 years, you know, kind of coming and going. And, you know, this is a big, big game for him now on Sunday. And, you know, you'd be expecting big things from him, you know.
Is it for you to call this one first?
Your head would have to say Salt Hill. But I wouldn't be surprised with Anna Down, to be honest. It wouldn't be any great shock, but I'll go with Salt Hill, but just about.
Hopefully you're wrong. And Mike?
Yeah, I just think I've been saying Salt Hill all year, like, you know what I mean? They're kind of the up-and-coming young team, and I just think if they can cut the supply ball into Damien Comer and Frankie Burke and keep it nice and tight, and hopefully Rob Finnerty starts and has a big game, and if Tom O'Connor can back up the performance he did again Tuam. And another thing, as I said, if John Maher can step up there midfield the next day and 5 or 6 of the rest of the lads contribute, I think Salt Hill could just shade it there by 2 or 3 points.
Next game up then, Montbellier Maelaw versus Mike Cullen, second semi-final, 3:45 in Pierce Stadium. Kieran, do you think the 2020 final where Mike Cullen overturned Montbellier plays a factor? Because if you look at it, it was taking Montbellier quite a while to get the better of Yee. They were really expecting to win the county title. Mike Cullen took it off them. Do you think that's on their minds?
I think it works in the favour of Mike Cullen, because definitely if you were looking at it when Curra Finn were on top, Montpellier were seen as probably the second best team in Galway. Mike Cullen really weren't been talked about. And that county final has given Mike Cullen great confidence to go on and, I suppose, have the belief that they're good enough to compete and good enough to win county titles. And I suppose that's why they're in a semi-final again. So I think a lot of teams would fear Montpellier and fear their firepower and their physicality and stuff. I don't think Mike Cullen will, to be honest. I think Mike Cullen will have the belief that they're better than Montpellier after that county final, because when it came to the crunch and it mattered most, Mike Cullen won it. So that'll play on the minds of the Mike Cullen lads that they have the ability to win it.
For Mike Cullen, Mike, like that Clare Galway game, it's safe to say they got out of jail there.
Yeah, geez, I couldn't believe it, Paul, when I seen the result. Like, you know what I mean? I couldn't believe, like, you know what I mean? Because we drew with Clare Galway and we probably should have went through, like, you know. But yeah, I wouldn't have feared Clare Galway at all. I said it here and the last time I was talking to you, like, Mike Cullen, I thought they'd win 5-6 points handy, like, you know, but they were pushed all the way. Like, sometimes that might be no harm as well. Like, maybe Mike Cullen, though, it was plain sailing so far. They had a few big teams bet, the bit Curra Finn, the bit Tuam, and they probably thought they were coasting, so it was probably no harm for a bit of a reality check. Like, you know, maybe we're not as far ahead or as we think we are, like, you know. So Mike Cullen, I think it's just set up for a huge game. Like it's massive. You know, there's revenge in it for Montbeliard after me betting the 2020 county final. I suppose a few doubts over my calling after the last, you know, even probably a few doubts over Montbeliard as well. Like, you know, where the two reliant on Barry McHugh, we get 10 points out of 15, the last against Currafin. You know, no one thought Currafin would push them within a point of them the last day. Like, you know, and I suppose Currafin are probably kicking themselves now. Like, you know, if they only had the two or three lads, you know, the Liam Silk or Kieran Malloy that was injured, if they only had them, they'd have probably beaten them, like, you know. So, you know, I think there's a few doubts over both teams, like, and the two of them will be up for proving a big point on Sunday. So I think that's what makes it out to be a cracker of a match in store.
And with Currafin coming so close, Gizzy, like, where do you feel Montbeliard are at the minute?
Well, if you ask me at the start of the year, I'd say yeah, they're the best team in Galway. I'll give them that. After the last day, they are very reliant on two or three players, and it's very obvious that some guys, like a lot of the guys, don't take the shots on. They're very reliant on ball getting to Kelly or McHugh or Finnerty, and they take the shots on. Mike Daly's a massive loss, and to be fair, he's a massive loss to any team. So he's a huge loss to them. And if Finnerty is injured, he's another massive loss. The way he's been playing over the last few years, you know, Patrick Kelly was kept quiet the last day, but Barry McHugh stepped up, to be fair to him. And that seems applied by Montbeliard, is like they work it around, try and get McHugh or Finnerty on or Kelly to get a shot off. And if not, then that little ding pass inside the 45 or inside the 21 to get the mark. And it works, in fairness. And it's very hard as a defender to mark that, especially with a guy like Barry McHugh, because he can play from the front or from behind, and he's big and he's quick for a big man to know. So it's hard to defend that. And Currafin struggled with it. And I'm sure Mike Cullen, now, if Finnerty is out, it leaves Mike Cullen. They could probably put Kelly on Barry McHugh, and that's a different animal for Barry McHugh to deal with. But equally, Paul, I wasn't awfully impressed when I saw Mike Cullen. I went to the Currafin-Mike Cullen game. I thought in the first half, Currafin were very comfortable, looked better organised, seemed to have a better game plan. And Mike Cullen just seemed to run into trouble, run it down. They were trying to ram it down the middle of Currafin. Currafin obviously had them well analysed and were dealing with it quite well. They were kicking long ball into Desi at times. He was outnumbered. Gavin Burke was dealing well with that. Now, the problem was in the second half, they probably didn't change it up a whole lot, but I suppose they've such strong runners. They kept going. Eventually, Sean Kelly got on the end of the move and it worked and they got a goal. And equally, they stopped kicking the ball into Desi. They tended to run it to Desi. Desi came on the loop and was able to get shots away, and Gavin struggled with that. So, up to halftime, I would have said, look, this is a two horse race. It's Currafin, Montbeliard. But I was obviously wrong.
Is Montbeliard's panel though being tested a bit more this year, Gizzy? Like Mike Daly out, Shane Moran last year, the wing forward, like he done a lot of work for them around the half forward line. But it just seemed the last day when they were in trouble against Currafin, you didn't necessarily know who was going to come on. I think it was two subs they only used or something.
Yeah, and I think if the game had gone into extra time, I think it was you'd be looking at Currafin to be favourites, because they had more subs to bring off the bench again, and they could recycle the likes of Gary Sice. If he got in for a second chance, I'm sure he would have caused damage. Now Montbeliard did miss Gary Sweeney. I don't think he was injured. I think he might have been away with work. So if he's back, he's a huge asset. But I do think after watching the last day, their panel isn't that strong, very reliant on three or four players. Now, in fairness, Colin Ryan did well the last day, kicked 2 points from wing back. James Foley struggled on Ian Burke, but that could happen to anyone. And he grew into the game as it went on and actually did well. The fact that he was booked to stay disciplined, to not get booked again, and Billy Mannion played well. So, like, they're probably reliant on seven or eight players. Barrett came into it a bit more in the second half. But if when it gets to a county semi-final, county final, into a Connacht series, you need 15 footballers. You need two or three subs to bring on. You can't be relying on four or five lads to do it for you. And that might be a flaw in Montpellier's armour.
And just with Mike Holland, like you look at the Clare Gall game, Sean Kelly deployed at centre forward. Sean Kelly has to go back into that full back line because, like, they got cut open. You look at Clare Gall's last play of the game, they played across to Barry Goldrick. If he keeps it lower, they could be out of the championship. Like, Conor Flaherty would probably look back at his marquee miss. Like, they really did give Clare Gall opportunities.
Oh, they did, yeah. Like, Sean Kelly will have to go back probably on Barry McHugh after what Barry McHugh did the last day against Cara Finn, like, you know. But I think Montpellier or Mike Holland, they just go down an awful lot the middle. They're always going down the middle trying to cut open, like, you know. And I think Montpellier will know that, like, you know. But I think a big matchup as well is Matthew Barrett and Peter Cook if they pick up each other, like, you know. I suppose Peter Cook has been in great form, like, you know, and Matthew Barrett has been okay as well, like, you know. So that's a big one on Sunday, you know, who comes out on top of there, like, you know. But as you said there, they are reliant enough on a few players, Montpellier, like, and that would be a worry. And I said it here the last day I was talking to you, like, you know, about Michael Daly, missing Michael Daly, like, you know, he's so important to Montpellier. And if he's not playing the next day, which he probably isn't, like, you know, or involved, you know, it's a bit like Cara Finn missing all the players, like, you know what I mean? Even though they came within a point of beating Montpellier, like, you know, will it take a toll to missing that quality of a player, like, you know, the next day? And I think it could, like, you know, but it's just hard to know. It's hard to know how things will go the next day. I think it's just interesting. I think it'll be 50-50 game, to be honest with you.
We're talking
to... last year, Paul, in that semi final too. Montpellier probably ran out comfortable enough in the semi final, but I think in the first half, from what I remember, Mike Cullen gifted them two goals. One was a soft penalty where I think it was a tackle off the ball more so than on the ball by Wynn, and the other one was just a high ball into the square that they just didn't deal with. And I mean, realistically, you probably shouldn't be getting caught here in the game by Patrick Kelly standing on the edge of the square and catching a long ball in. Now, another thing about Mike Cullen today against Cara Finn was that their tactic on kickout seemed to be out to the right. There was a Davern that was out at wing forward. Now, yeah, it worked. It worked. He must have caught 90% of kickouts or 75% of kickouts that went out there. So that's obviously a tactic that they apply. And Montpellier struggled with Dylan Canny when Dylan Canny came out to the wing forward pocket on kickers. Yeah. Dylan caught maybe kick-outs. Four. Yeah. You know, so that's if you give a team an out like that, it's a great platform. So Montpellier will have to be conscious of that and deal with it. And equally, Mike Cullen will have to be conscious that if Paddy Kelly's inside too, they can't leave a small corner back on.
Could be an open game of football though, Gizzy, I think, isn't it? I think, you know, it's two big teams, you know, I think they should go at it, like, you know what I mean? And I think that's the way it could turn out, like, you know. And I think it could be a total different game to the first game, like, you know. So I think.
Yeah, in the first game, if you're an Annadown man, you're probably hoping for bad weather and a bad pitch. And in the second game, as a neutral, you're probably hoping that the sun is splitting the rocks and that there's no, that weather doesn't play a part and both teams can go at it.
If you're looking at the Mike Cullen backs, just for Ian Gizzy, obviously as a back, the Mike Cullen full back line the last day, you had Keen Dean, Neil Mulcahy, Conor Corcoran, half back line of Owen Kelly, David Wynn, and Michael Mahon. Like, you have to expect there's going to be a bit of a shake up there, because if you're looking at the two cornerbacks, like, they're two small cornerbacks, you're thinking lump Patrick Kelly in straight away.
Yeah, and sometimes football doesn't have to be complicated. It can be very simple and like put a big man at the edge of the square and see what happens, see what comes of it. And Sean Kelly can't mark everyone. So if Patrick Kelly's in there and Barry McHugh's in there, then they have a decision to make. And in fairness to Curra Finn, they got matchups right. It's just that they had so many matchups to get right that one fell, and that happens. And Silky struggled that day. And Kyle has been a great servant to Curra Finn football, but he struggled that day. But I think he struggled in the second half because he had been booked and he couldn't be... Silky likes to play on the edge, and he couldn't play on the edge when he had been booked, and that probably affected him a bit. But what Mike Cullen do, I suppose, look at Barry McHugh needs to be stopped. You put Sean Kenny on him, and then obviously you try and match. And maybe win. Maybe win's the man that goes back on Kelly, you know? I don't know, does Bradshaw exist anymore in the panel? Or I know there was a couple of issues or that he had left, or was that sorted? I wonder, will he feature?
He hasn't been on any panel this year, and there's no sign of him the last day. So doesn't look like it. I know Aidan Claffey's back now. He could slot in somewhere there. He usually plays in the halfback line.
The lad there, James McLaughlin as well. I see. I wonder if he's back. He was injured. He was in the Gala panel one.
He's gone for the year. Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I think he tore his hamstring. So yeah. I'm not sure he'll have to get surgery, but he's gone for most of the year anyways.
Yeah.
And Gallagher is only going back to fitness as well, like.
Yeah. Like, but I think it's a big game. It's a big game for Patrick Kelly as well the next day, like, because he was probably quiet against Curra Finn, like, so he'll have a big point to prove now the next day, like, you know. So for a county player, you know, you'd expect big things from him, like, you know, he's a super player, like, and that height in around the full forward line, like, as you said, it'll be hard enough for Mike Cullen, you know. It's like trying to mind them all, like, you know. So it'll be interesting if they throw him inside, like with Barry McHugh. Plus, if Owen Finnerty's injured, like, that's a massive loss, like, to Montbello. Put him on top of Michael Daly, like, they're two huge losses, you know. So just let's hope he's not, like, and they can play with pretty much a full deck, like, you know.
Gizzy, when you played Montbello, would you went after John Daly? Because he's such a central part to this team.
Yeah, and look, you'd always go after the opposition key players, to be fair. And no more we played Milltown, like, you'd go after Mikey as well, you know. So I think every team nowadays goes after the opposition key players, and often your key players in your half back line, because John Daly, even though he doesn't seem to have much pace, like said that the likes of Cahill Sweeney, he causes you different trouble by, he's like a quarterback. I mean, look at he made the headlines playing intercounty football, the way he could deliver the ball inside, lovely little dink pass, 30 metres, 40 metres, you know, lovely balls for a forward to come onto. So he's like a quarterback for them. And maybe was that applied by Mike Cullen putting Sean Kelly up to centre forward to see if it was an option playing Mount Bellew? As we said previously, I think Sean Kelly has to be back in the full back line, but definitely you need a man to just worry about John Daly. And just, you got to engage him where the last year for Galway and a lot from Montpellier, he's allowed drop off and sit in front of the full back line, protect the full back line and get on ball and set up the play. So you probably need to a guy that's on him, yeah, that'll stop him doing that when he's in possession. But also you need a guy that's going to threaten him out of possession, that you have to force him to pick a man up, get tight and mark, that he can't be going around helping other guys. And if you do that, then it becomes man on man. And you see the likes of Wadeen Burke, the damage he caused when it was man on man the last day for at times.
Would you put someone on him this weekend, Mike? Like, even if you're thinking of someone maybe with a bit of a physical presence, like, you're maybe looking at Owen Geller.
Yeah, I just think I'd put someone on him just to mark him. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have to, like, if you take John Daly out of the game, like, you know, like, I can only say in my experience of marking him there last year, like, you know, the two players that, you know, you can't take your eye off. Normally, Baxter's supposed to be marking you, like, but himself and Liam Silk, like, you're marking, they're supposed to be marking you, but really you're marking them, like, you know, and you're kind of watching every move they make. So I think if I was Mike Cullen, I just get some player, Owen Gallagher could be their own, they'll just go with him and sacrifice his own game just to take John Daly out of the game. Because John Daly is just such a quality player. Like, his kick passing in the All-Ireland, you know, it's unreal. He sets up everything, like, you know. Like, I was marking him last year in the quarterfinal that won the group games. And, like, he's here and then he's gone, like, you know, and you're kind of watching him. And all of a sudden, he went through for a goal, like, and he's just, he could be here. He's just like Liam Silk, like, he creeps in around the back. He kind of goes up and he goes up unknown to you, like, so... I just think I get a player to man mark him for the day, and even if it sacrifices his own game, what about if you can keep John Daly out of the game? It's you know, you'll go a long way of beating Mobilio, like, you know.
Someone like James Foley probably to tee up then with Desi Caneely, Gizzy.
Yeah, you would think so. Now the only thing is James had his hands full with Ian Burke. But when Ian Burke is in that kind of form, his hair stops and he's going to trouble any defender. But it looks likely he's an intra-county defender and predominantly plays in the full back line. So it's a very obvious choice. But to be fair to Desi for his club seems to be a big game player and has turned up. And even in the second half against Cora Finn, thought he was very good and was the difference that day. So, like, definitely he needs marking, he needs watching. But it's easier said than done. Because he has an array of, like, he's like an old, he'll battle away inside when it's kicked in anyway at all. He'll come in the loop. He's always very busy. He's always on the move. So they will have their hands full with him, yeah.
Mike, you mentioned it earlier. It just feels like the key battle in this one is Peter Cook and Matthew Barrett.
Oh, definitely, Paul. Without a shadow of a doubt, like, you know, Peter Cook probably has been, he's been central to Mike Cullen's year. Like, you know, he's kicking long range frees. He's kind of setting up. He's sitting in the pocket, kind of spraying ball left and right. You know, and Matthew Barrett, then on the other hand, you know, he'd run all day for you. He'd catch ball. He scored a point or two again, Cora Finn. You know, so I think whoever comes out there on top, like, it's going to have a huge say in the game. And for some reason, I just think Matthew Barrett could edge it. I think he's a good player. He could get in Peter Cook's face and he could really, really give Peter Cook plenty to deal with. Like, you know, one thing with Peter Cook, you want to put him on your back foot. And the only way you put him on your back foot, if you run at him and carry ball and get him following you. And I think if he can... go at that Matthew Barrett, I think, you know, he could just kind of be a bit much for Peter Cook, like, you know.
And if you're to call it, Mike?
Well, I said Montbello would wait. I think Saul Taylor, this is the kind of team that hopefully comes through to a final, and I think they'll, you know, I've been awful impressed with them all year, like, you know. I just have a thing for Salt Hill. I think they could be a surprise package, but for the next day, I just think Montbello. Backed them all year. They've blitzed some teams, you know, but I think they'll just get by maybe by 2 or 3 points, you know. Maybe that blip against Clare Galway where they just won't get over the line again, Mike Cullen. Maybe there's something more to it, but they've gifted a bit of form, like, you know. So, you know, but Montbello for me, because I just think anytime you beat Curve in championship, you got to be favourites going into the next game, and I think Montbello for me by 2 or 3 points.
And time to final say, Gizzy.
Yeah, I would have said at the start of the year, Montbello would have been favourites. I won't change that now after watching Mike Cullen play Cora Finn. But and the one thing that will stand to Montbello is too, that Cora Finn, even though they've got over Cora Finn the last year or two, that game was a little bit of a monkey on their back too, where there was an unknown about Cora Finn. The narrative had changed from, like, the years we played Montpellier was always Montpellier were coming in as the underdog and were tearing into us. Now Cora Finn were going in as the underdogs and tearing into them. And it was going to be a tough ask for Montpellier when they got over the line. So that's a positive for them. But in saying that, it's hard to do back-to-back. And there is a lot when you do back-to-back, there is a lot of twists and turns along the way. So I'll go with Montpellier, but there will be a twist or turn in that they won't get it their own way and they'll be tested again the next day.
be interesting to see. Hopefully, you'll both be wrong anyways, and Annadon will be into the final. But thanks a million to everyone for listening, and thanks a million, lads, for coming on.
Cheers, Paul. Thanks for